everybody, and welcome to our journey. Masechet Rosh Hashanah. We are, I believe, at the top of the page. At the very bottom of Daf Lev Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. So there's a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says the bottom line: En Mazkirin Malchut Zichronot VeShofarot Shel Puranut. So the Mishnah says that we do not recite psukim of Malchuyot, Zichronot, VeShofarot that are mentioning bad things or bad events, like a judgment or something, in a bad way. How do you translate Puranut? Tzaris. Matchil b'Torah. Excuse me.
Disaster.
Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. So according to Tana Kama, we begin with psukim of Torah and we end with psukim of Navi. So Ktuvim is in the very middle, not what we would naturally expect, that it would be Torah Navim Ktuvim. It's Torah Ktuvim and ending with Navim Tanakama. According to Rabbi Yossi Omer, in Eshlim Batorah Yatza. So Rabbi Yossi Omer, if he finished with a pasuk from the Torah, then he fulfilled the mitzvah of Malchuyot, Zichronot, VeShofarot. Now the Gemara is going to analyze that. The Gemara says, top of Lamed Beis Amud Bet, Malchuyot. Okay, let's give us an example about malchuyot that mentioning a disaster or a bad event, a puranut. The Gemara says malchuyot that has puranut in it, kegon chay ani neum Hashem Elokim im lo bead chazaka v'zruah netuyah v'chema shfucha im lo chalechem. I swear, says Kodesh Baruch Hu, that if you won't let me rule over you, I will rule over you by force. Okay, if you will not accept my kingship, I won't leave any other choice to you. So that's not a, you know, that's sort of a not a very happy ending. So we don't mention that on the Malchuyot and Rosh Hashanah. The Af Al Gav Demar Rav Nachman. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about people trying to push Kadosh Baruch Hu Chasom away, and then he says, guys, there's no way out. Like, I'm your king, right? So that's Rav Nachman said, that's a good thing. I mean, if we try to escape from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like Sefer Yoinah, right? We're trying to escape, there's no escape from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a good thing. End of the day, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to, you know, pull us back. Even if it's by force, it's back to his hands, back to his embrace. So, and then the Gemara says, so that's a bad thing. Ve'af al gav, and even though the Amar Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman says, Kol ki hay ritcha, lirtach kut shabrichu, alan velifrukin. And you know what? I would rather Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, get angry, be, you know, upset with us a little bit, but then redeem us in the end. Okay, I would like that to happen if, you know, if that's what it takes. Fine, but still, kevan. So even though it's a positive thing, Kol Tivrav Nachman, kevan de berit chamur. Okay, since it's talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger, end of the day, ad kure ritcha bereish shata lo madkerina. So we do not mention Kadosh Baruch Hu's wrath on the head of the year on Rosh Hashanah. We don't do that. We try to avoid mentioning any bad things, negative things, which again, I think resonates a lot with a lot of the simanim that we do. Simanim for a sweet Happy New Year, we don't want to mention bad things. Chet Ha'Egel, we discussed, okay? Something we don't want to mention on Rosh Hashanah. Zikaron, so let's have an example of Pasuk of Zichronot that has Puranut in it. Kegon Vayizkor Ki Basar Hema. So that's a pasuk in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Ayin Chet. The whole Perek is talking about a summary of Bnei Israel in the Midbar and how they upset Kadosh Baruch Hu so many times, over and over again. And then Hashem is remembering that they're just flesh and blood, and that's why they're so difficult. So again, that's not a good thing. We don't mention that in Rosh Hashanah, even though it's mentioned Vayizkor, that Hashem remembers. Shofarot with the Puranut, Kegon Tik'u Shofar Begiv'ah. So once again, it's a pasuk that's discussing Puranut that's coming, that the enemy is coming upon us. So we do not mention that as well. Aval, however, im balomar malchut zikaron veshofar shel puranut shel ovdei kochavim omer. So the Mishnah says that we do not mention the pasukim of malchut veshofarot if they had a puranut, like a bad thing happening, or a bad event or a disaster, but only if it's aimed towards Am Yisrael. If it's aimed towards the Goyim, then we do mention it. Kegon, Malchut Kegon, give us an example. Hashem Malach Gezu Amim. So obviously, it's, you know, he will rule, and then the nations will be upset. So they're not going to like that idea, right? They don't like that idea. That's why they don't like us, right? So that's bad for them, and we could still mention it. Uchegon, another example. Hashem Melech Olam Va'ed Avedu Goyim Me'arzo. So Hashem is king forever and ever, and all the Goyim, all the nations, would perish from his land. Zikaron. A pasuk of Zikaron that has a Puranut on the Goyim that we could mention. Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom, that's in the Mizmor of Al-Arot Bavel, right? So Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom, so we hope that Hashem will remember all the bad things they did to us and He will avenge and punish them. So Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom, that we could mention. Shofar Kigon, so Shofar with the Puranut Lagoyim, כגון והשם אלוקים בשופר יתקע והלך בסערות תימן. So הקדוש ברוך הוא will blow the shofar and will go with a storming in תימן. Now one could imagine that Hashem storming in תימן is bad for us, right? Because of maybe Jewish people in תימן. But right after that it says Hashem צבקות יגן עליהם. So הקדוש ברוך הוא will guard or defend them, Am Yisrael, and his wrath will only descend upon the Goyim in his storms, in his sa'arot. So that's why, again, the wrath is on the Goyim. We could mention that. Okay. Ein mazkirin zikaron. So now there's a lot of halachot about the what kind of psukim we would mention or not mention in Malchuyot, Zikaron, and Shofar, right? So the Gemara says, I think it's all a brisa. Ein mazkirin zikaron shel yachid. So one thing we won't mention, even if it's a good thing, it's a positive thing, zikaron, we won't mention it if it's an individual matter. Okay, so I'm talking about global issues, the national, on the something at least on a national scale, not the individual. An example, kigon, zochreni Hashem birtzon amecha. So again, when an individual is talking, Hashem, please remember me, we're not going to mention this. Even if it's connected somehow to the nation. Like Birtzon Amecha, okay? But still, if I'm talking about myself, not good for Rosh Hashanah. Uchagon, Zochra li Elokai letova. Another one who's speaking, who is like asking, Hashem, remember me in favor. Pikdonot, now the Gemara is saying, Pikdonot hare hen kezichronot. So we're going to discuss, I think we're going to see it more closely soon. So, in essence, when we're saying Malchuyot Zichron Shofarot, we're talking about psukim in the Bible, Torah, Nevi'im, Oktuvim, that the word melech, or the root melech or malchut, or the root shofar, or the root zichronot, ve'izkor, zachar, zechor, would appear in the pasuk. Okay? So what if, and we're going to discuss, what if it's not mentioned explicitly, would that count? We'll see that in a minute. So now the Gemara is saying, what if the word zachar is not mentioned vayizkor, but pakad vayifkod? Would that count? So the Gemara says, pikdonot harei hen kezichronot. So if the word pikdonot or pikadon is mentioned, or the root pakad, so that would count for zichronot. You can mention that for zichronot. That could be a part of the 10 psukim. Kegon, for example, vashem pakad et sarah. And Hashem remembered Sarah. Uchegon, pakod pakadeti etchem. Right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu is remembering and coming to redeem Am Yisrael. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einan kezichronot. Now we'll see, there's now a lot of machlokot right now in the coming few lines between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi, in general, I'm going to see that Rabbi Yossi says, if the idea of Malchut, or the idea of Zikaron is mentioned, or the idea of Shofar, it's good. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the word has to be mentioned explicitly. According to Rabbi Yossi, you don't need the word, you need the idea, the concept. Okay? So Pikadon is good for Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda obviously is going to say it's not good. It needs to say Zachar. Okay? So that's for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Okay? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einan kezichronot, that wouldn't count. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. And according to Rabbi Yossi says it's all right. Nehim nami de pikdonot haren kezichronot. Look, even according to the shita of Rabbi Yossi that pikdonot would count as zichronot, how could you mention the pasuk of Hashem pakad Sarah? There's another problem. Sarah is an individual, and Hashem is remembering an individual. We're not supposed to mention anything individual in Rosh Hashanah, right? Pikadon v'Hashem pakad Sarah pikadon de yachidu. That's a pikadon of an individual. Says the Gemara, he answers the Gemara, Kevan de'atu rabim mina ke rabim damya. Since Sarah was the mother of a nation, so yeah, she counts as the whole nation. Okay? That's the greatness of our Avot and Imahot. Okay. Now the Gemara is talking about, let's see a few other psukim. Se'u she'arim rashechem, ve'hinasu pitche olam ve'avo melech hakavod. So these psukim we know from Shir Shel Yom Rishon. And we're, if someone would give me a hand with the translation, but we're calling upon Am Yisrael, look up to the gates and let the king of the world come. Let the king of the world enter. Who is the king of the world? Who is the king of the Kavod, the honorable king? It's Hashem. Hashem is the Gibor, Hashem the Almighty, the hero. Hashem Gibor Melchama, Hashem a war hero. And then repeating those words, look up to see, look up to the gates of the world. Let the king of the Kavod enter. Who is the king? It's Hashem, the king of the Kavod forever. Okay, so this is a sequence of two psukim. Now we're going to see another machloket of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so two psukim, right? The Rishon, so another Gemara saying, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rishona shtaim, shnia shalosh. How many times, or how many malchut, how many times is the notion of king mentioned in these psukim? We're trying to count 10 times king, right? 10 times melech. So in these couple of psukim, how many times do you have melech? So Rishona, Shtaim, in the first pasuk, it's mentioned twice. In the second pasuk, it's mentioned thrice, three times. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. That's according to Rabbi Yossi. So let's just count them quickly. Go back with me. So which melech hakavod? That's one. Mizem melech hakavod? That's the two. Hashem mizu the gibor, Hashem gibor milchama. End of the first pasuk. That's two, like Rabbi Yossi says. And then the second pasuk. So which melech hakavod? That's one. Mizem melech hakavod? Hashem dotu melech hakavod selah. That's three times the second pasuk. So far so good for Rabbi Yossi. That counts. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rishona Achat, Shnia Shtaim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when we ask who is the king, that doesn't count because we're not making a statement, we're just asking a question. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's just one less in each pasuk. Alright? Okay. Zameru Elokim Zameru, Zameru Lamalkenu Zameru. That's the perek we say before the Tkiyat Shofar. This is a Sfardi show. And then, Zameru Elokim Zameru, Zameru Lamalkenu Zameru. Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elokim. Okay, so according to Rabbi Yossi, how many times it's counting a melech? Twice, right? Zamru l'malkenu, and then melech kol haaretz elokim. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda omer achat, only once. Why? Which one doesn't count? So Rashi explains, the first one, Zamru l'malkenu, if he's only our king, that's not a good enough, you know, kingship, because if he only rules over us. So only the second one counts when he's melech kol haaretz, when he rules over the whole all the earth. Okay. Veshavin, oh, that's a place where they agree. Veshavin, they both agree in this pasuk. Bemalach Elokim al goyim. I think the bet is not from the pasuk, right? Veshavin be, they agree in the on the pasuk. Malach Elokim al goyim. Elokim yashav al kise kodsho. That is one. Malach Elokim al goyim, right? So, even though it says in the first half, Malach Elokim Elohim, he rules over the nations. That's counts as one. And then the other part, Elokim Yashav Al Kiseh Kodesho. So of course, to Rabbi Yehuda, that's nothing. But even to Rabbi Yossi, it's nothing. Even though it says he sat on his throne, it doesn't count because it doesn't say Malach. Okay. So here they agree. Now let's talk about Zichronot a little bit. Zikaron Sheyesh Bo Teruah. Okay. So what? Okay, so what's the question here? So we need to say Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. What if there's a pasuk that mentions both Zikaron and Tru'ah? Tru'ah sounds like Shofar, right? So could it count, should it count for Zichronot? Or could we use that pasuk and mention that for Shofarot, if we want? So, if there's a pasuk that mentions both Zikaron and Tru'ah, not Shofar, Tru'ah, okay? Tru'ah, which is the sound of Shofar, not the word Shofar explicitly. Kegon, for example, Shabbaton, Zichron, Teruah, Mikra Kodesh. So the word Zikaron is mentioned, and the word Teruah is mentioned, not the word Shofar again. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi, let's see, Omrayim HaZichronot, Omrayim HaShofarot. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, you could mention that with the shofarot. If you want, you could mention that with the shofarot. Because the word twice mentioned that we can't for shofarot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Omra Elayim HaZichronot Bilvad. You can only mention it with the zichronot because Tru'ah would not qualify for the shofarot. Okay. Malchut Sheyesh Imo Tru'ah. What if there's a passage that mentions Malchut and is mentioned Tru'ah with it? For instance, Kegon Hashem Elokav Imo Utru'at Melech Bo. Okay, so there's a Tru'ah of a Melech, the sound of the shofar blown for the king. So again, according to Rabbi Yossi, it would be consistent. Omrayim Malchuyot v'omrayim Shofarot. According to Rabbi Yossi, you could choose. You could say that if you wish with the Malchuyot or with the Shofarot. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Omrayim Ela Im HaMalchuyot Bilvad. You could not mention that. You can only mention that with the Malchuyot, not with the Shofarot, because again, Tru'ah would not count. Tru'ah She'eni Maloklum. If there's a pasuk that doesn't mention Malchut, doesn't mention Zikaron, only mentions the word Tru'ah. Kegon, Yom Tru'ah Yeh Lachem. So again, if we be consistent, it's pretty straightforward. Omrayim HaShofarot Divrei Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, you can say that with the Shofarot, only with the Shofarot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Omra Kol Ikar. You cannot mention it because it's not a Shofar, it's nothing. Okay. Yofi. Now, let's move on to the next section of the Mishnah, the short Mishnah. Matchil BaTorah UMashlim BaNavi. Okay, so we should begin with the psukim, open the set of malchuyot or zichronot shofarot with the set of psukim from the Torah, and then finish with a set of psukim from the Navi. That leaves the ketuvim for the middle. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im ishlim b'Torah yetsa. If you end with a pasuk from the Torah, that's okay. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute, im ishlim. The language, the phrasing of Rabbi Yossi is only b'diavad. If you finish the pasuk of Torah, it's not too bad. But it looks like only b'diavad. Diavad in lechatchila lo, that you shouldn't do that. Lechatchila. Wait a minute. Lechatchila lo, says the Gemara. V'atanya, there's a brisa saying, Rabbi Yossi omer, ha-mashlim b'Torah harei ze meshubach. According to Rabbi Yossi, it is ideal to finish the set with a pasuk from the Torah. It's not a bediavad, it's not a krecht thing. It's what you should be doing. So what do you mean? If we did that, it's okay. The Gemara says, Eima mashlim. Right? Yeah, you have to read the Mishnah differently. Not im heshlim, if he did it. No, mashlim, that he can do that lachatchila. The Gemara says, Veha im heshlim ktane. Okay, but it's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says if he already did it, it's fine. The lashon of im hishlim is only referring to a diavad, but not a lechatchila. It's very clear from the language of the Mishnah. The Gemara says, you need to read the Mishnah differently. That's what he meant. Matchil b'Torah u'mashlim b'Navi. The Tana Kama says you end with the psukim of Torah and you finish with the psukim of Navi. K'tuvim in the middle. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mashlim b'Torah. Ve'im ishlim b'Navi yatsa. So in this way, the Gemara says that there has to be, we need to, this version is if, let's say it's a short version or we need a bit of a correction. It doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes it does. So this way, when the Gemara says, yeah, he should finish with a pasuk of the Torah, but if he ended with a pasuk of the Navi, then he still fulfilled the mitzvah. And that would fit perfectly with his opinion in the Braisa, that ideally he should finish with the Torah, and then again, so in this way, Rabbi Yossi is consistent with his opinion in the Braita, and he also preserved the Lashon in the Mishnah, and if he did something, then it's still okay, which is a bediyeved, which is seems to be what the Mishnah said. Okay. Tanya Namiachi, we have another Braita to support that explanation. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Rabbi Yossi, Vatikin, so Rabbi Elazar, in the name of, the son of Rabbi Yossi says, Vatikin ayu mashlimin otah b'Torah. So the Vatikin, the elder people who would be very, very careful with the mitzvot, would end a set of Malchuyot Zichronot Shofarot with the Psukim of Torah, b'Torah. Right? They would finish it with the Psuk of Torah. So now the Gemara says, Bishlama, wait a minute.
you have to finish it with the pasuk of Torah. That would mean that between the 10 psukim of each set, there have to be 3 psukim from the Torah, 3 psukim from the Ketuvim, 3 psukim from the Navi, and then one last pasuk from the Torah, which means 4 psukim from the Torah. Okay? So according to Rabbi according to Tanakama, it's going to be 3 from the Torah, 3 from the Ketuvim, 4 from the Navi. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it's going to be 4 psukim from the Torah. Doesn't sound dramatic. Only there's one problem. The Torah says, "Bishlam azichronot v'shofarot." We're talking about zichronot and shofarot. Ikatuva. There's plenty of psukim mentioning zikaron or shofar in the Torah. Ela malchuyot. The problem is, it comes with malchuyot. We don't have so many psukim of malchuyot in the Torah. We only have 3 malchuyot. There's only 3 psukim that would qualify for malchuyot that we can mention. We, according to Rabbi Yossi, we need a 4th. Which ones are the 3? Hashem Elokav Imot Tuat Melech Bo, which we mentioned. So again, mention the Melech. Vahi Bishuun Melech, another time, the Melech. Hashem Imloch Leolam Vaed, after the Shirat Hayam. And that is also mentioning a Melech. That's only 3 psukim, talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu's kingship. The Anan Ba'inan Eser Veleika. Now you mentioned we need 10 psukim. So what about the 10th pasuk, which has to be the 4th from the Torah? We don't have a 4th Veleika. We don't have one. Amar Rav Huna Tashma. Let me tell you something. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Remember the old machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? Here it is. Here it comes. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know this pasuk. Malchut Divrei Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, that's a pasuk of kingship, of malchut. In other words, you could mention this one for malchuyot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eina malchut. Right? Of course, Rabbi Yehuda says the word melech is not mentioned, it's not malchut. Another pasuk. V'yadata ayom v'ashevotai levavecha. Ki Hashem hu ha'elokim en od. So, again, another pasuk. And you shall know and you should accept in your heart that Hashem is the Lord, there's no one else other than Him. So again, malchut divrei Rabbi Yossi. That's a malchut. That's what the pasuk is talking about. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a malchut because the word melech is not mentioned. Atahu et aladat ki Hashem hu elokim enod milvado. Another pasuk. So you know you've just been shown and now you know that Hashem is the elokim. He is the God. He's the Lord. There's no one else other than Him. Malchus divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eina Malchut. So how does that resolve the problem? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is the one that says we need 4 psukim, and according to Rabbi Yossi, there's more than 3. Oh, because all the other psukim that mention the notion of Malchut are there in the Torah, so we can use them. Okay. Next Mishnah. Ha'over lifnei hateva beyom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. So we're talking about Ha'over lifnei hateva is the chazan, is going, you know, before the teva, the shtender, the teva, the bima, depends. Okay, on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. So how many of them we have? We have 2. We have one for Shachris, one for Musaf, right? And now the Mishnah says, Hasheni Matkia. So the second one will blow the shofar, which means the chazan of Musaf. Okay? Ubishat Halel Arishon, Ubishat Halel, and when there's a Halel, Harishon makri et ha'alel, or mekare et ha'alel. So when there's a halel, the first one, in other words, which chazan is reciting the halel? The chazan of Shachris. Okay? The Gemara says, wait a minute. Maishna sheni matkia. What's the difference between the first chazan of Shachris and the second chazan of Musaf that made you say that the second one should blow the shofar in Musaf? Mishum de berov amadrat melech. Because so what are the reason to let the other one, the second one, to do the blowing the shofar of the on the Musaf? Mishum berov amadrat melech. You know, the more people there are in shul, the better. And obviously, more people come to shul for Musaf, right? You know, the JFK style. So people come later. Later on, you're gonna have more people. A lot of people would come to hear the tkiot shofar. Okay, so you're gonna have more people. That's better to do the tkiot with more people. Ihachi, by the way, interesting, the Gemara is not saying do it later so that the latecomers will hear the shofar. That's not a good enough reason. Okay? But because
we don't care. If they come late, it's their problem. But the reason is, if they're coming, we're going to have more people. That's a good reason, okay? However, wait a minute. So if that's the leading principle, that Berov HaMadrat Melech, then Halel Nami, Nema Besheni. So why do we not say the Halel with the in after Musaf? Again, after Musaf is going to be more people. Let's say the Halel where more people are in Shul. Halel Nema, Halel Ihachi, Halel Nami, Nema Besheni. Halel also we should say with the second Chazan and after Musaf. Mishum, the Berov HaMadrat Melech, because of that principle that with the more people in Shul, that will glorify the name of the king. Elamaishna halel debarishon. What's the reason you'd give the halal to the first chazan, meaning after shacharis? Mishum dezrizim akidinim la mitzvot. The reason we give the first chazan to do the halal when there is a halal is because zrizim akidinim, the vigilant, you know, they do the mitzvot as soon as possible, as soon as they can. We don't wait with the mitzvah. Halal is the mitzvah. We don't wait. We do it as soon as possible. After shachar, we go make the musaf. Wait a minute, if that's the leading principle, if that's a principle of doing the mitzvot ASAP, then do the tkiot also after shachris. Mishum dezrizim akdimin la mitzvot. Okay, so why are they different? Now the Gemara was going to answer. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bishat gzerat amalchut shanu. So, It means that the Mishnah that says that they would do the tkios after Musaf was in a time of a decree of the king. What was the decree? Rashi explains that, you know, our enemies made a decree that we would not blow the shofar, and they would wait near the shul for us to check that we were actually not blowing the shofar. And because that was a bit of a danger to blow the shofar against their will and to, you know, provoke them, then we would just postpone it after Musaf, because they would wait so long and the Chazan would sing all the songs and it's going to be really, really slow. And then they will just kind of say, okay, they're not going to blow the shofar, they're fine. The Goyim will go home and we could blow the shofar. Okay? Interesting. It's an interesting story, and it's ever since it's stuck. There's a bit of a different version in the Yerushalmi that says the Goyim heard the Yids blowing the shofar and they thought they're actually, you know, about to start a war with them, because the shofar back in those days were signs of war, and the Goyim were really scared that the Jews will kill them, so they killed them first. And ever since that disaster happened, that's all mentioned in the Yerushalmi. If you can see that in Rabbeinu Hanan later on, the Goyim said, the Jews said. No, we're not going to do this first thing in the morning, because this is going to scare our neighbors. We're going to wait, and they're going to hear all our tefillahs and everything we say and the songs, and they will now realize when they hear the shofar, that's all a part of the rituals, the religious stuff, okay? And that's why it's not dangerous, and it never changed, because Jewish people don't like to change stuff, and once that's stuck, we need a better bait, greater bait, and everything to just change it, and that's how we do it until today. Tov. Okay, now the Gemara says, can we just finish maybe the daf? Yeah, we should. Maybe even a bit more if you let me. Okay, so midekamar, since the Mishnah says, okay, so in Rosh Hashanah, you do the tkias with the second chazan, i.e. after Musaf, and when there is a halel, you give it to the first chazan after shacharis. So since the Mishnah says, bishat the halel, when there is a halel, michlal de berosh Hashanah, Leika halel. That would imply that in Rosh Hashanah there is no halal, because otherwise we wouldn't have to mention. If we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, then if there was a halal, we don't need to mention that there is a halal, right? So my tama, there is no halal in Rosh Hashanah. What's the reason? Rabbi Abahu says, Amru malachei hasharet lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the angel said, angel servants of Kadosh Baruch Hu said before him, Ribono shel Olam, King of the world, mipnei ma'an Yisrael avrim shira lefanecha beRosh Hashanah uYom HaKippurim. What's the reason that your nation, your children of Israel, are not saying the Shira, the song of Hallel, before you in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, i.e. the high holidays? Amar lahem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in response, Efshar melech hashev al kisei din, v'sifrei chayim v'sifrei metim p'tuchim lefanav, v'Yisrael omrim Shira. Is it even possible, does it make sense to you that I'm sitting, the king, on a throne of judgment, all the books of life, you know, the living and the dead are open, you know, it's everything is at stake, and they will sing a song? It just doesn't make sense. It's nishayach to the atmosphere of the day. That's it. Okay, beautiful story. Next Mishnah says, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah, ein ma'avirim alav et ha'tchum. So now this Mishnah is discussing halachot regarding to the tkiot shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It says, Shofar de shofar Rosh Hashanah, ein ma'avirim alav et ha'tchum. So what if you're stuck without a shofar? So there's a shofar outside the tchum of your city, right? So Chachamim established this enactment that one should not travel so far more than 2,000 amos from his town, from his city. That's outside the Shabbos tchum. The Shabbos, how do you translate Shabbos? Tchum Shabbat? Your Shabbos area, okay? There's an area you're not supposed to go beyond that borders, okay? So even if you're stuck without a shofar, you shouldn't go beyond the tchum to hear the shofar. Ve'en mefakchim alav et agal. So you did have a shofar, but a lot of stones fell on the shofar. There's a big pile of stones, and you're not supposed to remove the stones to get the shofar to blow because the stones are muktza. You're not allowed to do that. Lo olim ba'ilan. You're not going to climb a tree to get the shofar that's on top of the tree. You're not supposed to ride an animal to get the shofar. You should not swim in the water to get the shofar. And then you should not cut the shofar. Just finish the job to prepare it for the blowing. Okay, if it needs just a bit of a cutting and a few finishing touches, you're not allowed to do that. Bein bedavar shehu mishum shvot, whether it's a tool that you're not allowed to use because of shvot, because of exeret rabbanan of shvot, i.e. refrain from melacha. I mean, I relax, right? Shvot, relax, rest. Uven bedavar shehu mishum lo taseh, and even more so, you're not supposed to cut the shofar with a tool. That's actually, if you do that, using it on Yom Tov is a melacha deoraita. It's a la lotase. However, there's one thing that's mutar. Im ratza litel etocho mayim o yayin, in brackets, or whiskey. Okay? So if you wanted to pour that into the shofar, yiten. You could do that just to smooth the voice, the sound of the shofar, if it needs some smoothing or something. I don't know, I'm not a shofar technician. But maybe it works, right? Just sort of to fix, to repair it with water or wine inside, then you could, yiten, you could do that. Last thing in the Mishnah, ein me'akvina, I think it's not a thing, yeah, almost. Ein me'akvina tatinokot militkwa, so, ein me'akvina tatinokot militkwa, you are not preventing the kids from blowing the shofar, okay? Even though, you know, they're putter. So, you know, their pattern, they sort of shouldn't do it, but you don't need to prevent them. If they do, you could, I mean, if they do, you could let them blow the shofar. But you could sort of help them and talk to them and explain to them things just until they learn. And now we're talking about after we've blown the shofar, we did fulfill the mitzvah, and we no longer need the shofar for the mitzvah. You could still help them do that. If you just play with the shofar and somehow you sort of blow the shofar and you make a sound out of the shofar, but you didn't mean to blow the shofar, just like you lean on the wall and then you turn on the switch, the light switch. You didn't mean to do that, right? So you're just playing with the shofar, you're trying to blow here, blow there, and something happened accidentally. That's not a kosher tkia, and if you did that and heard that that sound, it doesn't count as a tkia shofar. You did not fulfill the mitzvah. V'ashomeh mina mitasek, and accordingly, one who heard the sound of the shofar from someone who's mitasek, who's accidentally blown the shofar, lo yatsa, did not fulfill the mitzvah. Just a couple of lines, my tama. So wait a minute. Let's go back to the first section. You're not supposed to cross the Tchum Shabbat, go beyond the Tchum Shabbat. You're not supposed to, take all the stones from on top of the shofar. Wait a minute. My tama, shofar asehu. So why are you not allowed to do some things, or even the other things? Let's say to just fix the shofar. Let's say fix the shofar on a Yom Tov with a tool that's actually using it would be a melacha. So that's a lot aser. Still, why can you not do it? Shofar is a mitzvah aser. Oh, sticha, that's already the answer. Why can you not? Because usually we have a principle of aser docher lo taser. So the aser of shofar, in order to fulfill a mitzvah of aser, it would override a prohibition of lo taser, like a negative prohibition. So why can we not do anything just to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah aser? The Gemara answers, because shofar is an aser, is a mitzvah aser, ve'yom mitzvah aserhu, shofar aserhu, ve'yom tov aser ve'lo taser. Yom tov has both two mitzvahs, lo taser melacha ve mikra kodesh shabbaton, right? So you should actually rest. So it's a positive mitzvah to rest, and a negative mitzvah not to do any. So that's stronger than just the aser of the shofar. So ve'en aser. Having said that, ve'en aser doche et lo taser ve'aser. Aser could override lo taser, but it cannot override lo taser plus aser together. Okay, and then lo olim ba'ilan. Okay, couple minutes. Lo olim ba'ilan. So you do not climb a tree. You do not ride an animal on Shabbos. So the reason why you don't cross the Tchum Shabbos is Gzeirah Derabanan, because they don't want it traveling in Shabbat. And then the reason why you do not take the stones from on top of the shofar, because the stones are mukta. That's all the Rabbanan. Okay? The reason why you don't ride an animal is because it's still the Rabbanan, but the concern is that you might get to do a Malacha Dorata. You might just snap a branch off a tree just to lead the animal. Okay? Or do not climb a tree, because you might, pull off some leaves or branches, which is a melacha deoraita. Okay? So these are more severe, because here there's a concern that you might do melacha deoraita. So now the Gemara is saying, wait a minute. Hashta derabanan amar tlo. So the order of the Mishnah says that even a melacha that's just deoraita, that's just a derabanan, like going beyond the Tchum Shabbat, or moving a mukta, you said you're not allowed to do that for the sake of blowing shofar, even though it's just a derabanan, and there's not even a concern of melacha deoraita on the horizon. So now deoraita, when there is a concern of deoraita, like riding an animal or climbing a tree, right? That's kal vachomer. All the more so. Deoraita mibaya. So do you need to actually teach us that you're not allowed to do that? Obviously, if you're not allowed to do even lighter prohibitions, of course you're not allowed to do that. Okay? Deoraita mibaya. Says the Gemara, zo ve'en tzarich lomar zo ktane. So this Mishnah was taught in a fashion of, yeah, this one, and I mean, you're not supposed to do this one, and needless to say, that one. Okay, so you're right. It is a sort of kal vachomer, but that's the way sometimes the Mishnah would phrase the sentences. And I believe maybe we could just call it a day, okay? It's been a long amud, and we'll continue tomorrow.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll be able to do